Verse 36. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You've just sung when saint to saint in days of old. What is our position as a denomination? We have a label. No labels in heaven, but true worshippers and true believers, called effectually by grace, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. No labels. But what is our position? Well, there were the days I've been pondering when there was priestcraft in this country before the Reformation. You had to go to Mass. The Church of England persecuted believers unless they worshipped according to the prayer book. And there were saints in the days of old. What were they? Godly men and women, taught by the Lord, with a conscience toward God. They couldn't worship God in that blasphemous Mass. They couldn't worship God according to the prayer book and the rituals put upon them. They separated. They were called nonconformists because they couldn't conform. And some became primitive brethren, some became Congregationalists, some became Baptists. And we are Baptists, and thankful for it. And it's only error that has separated us and given us labels. And so we have that term, strict and particular Baptists. What does that mean? Those dear folks love the Lord. They love their brethren and sisters, and they just wanted to commune together with those that were baptized believers, that followed the Lord as in Pentecost, in order that followed the Lord in his commands, and were baptized, and had fellowship and broke bread. That's what they wanted to do. And then there was another error come in, and they separated because of particular redemption. They believed in their consciences that God had a people that he had redeemed with his precious blood, the blood of his Son. And they were a peculiar people to him and a particular people of his choice. And we see the gospel by Jesus Christ being commanded to preach to every creature. And whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And whosoever believeth not shall be damned. And having said that, I want to come to this account of the eunuch. There's something very, very special here. Philip was greatly used by the Holy Spirit in going through the villages preaching. He was given power to heal in many cases. Many believed on him, on Jesus Christ, through his ministry. And here the Holy Spirit tells him to arise and go to the south, to Gaza, which is desert. Now, I won't go into the details. The details are interesting. It was a desert, a very dangerous place to travel in. But Philip was ordered to go there and meet a certain eunuch. But before I come further on the account, I want to look at some of the reasons why people are hindered from being baptized. Now, there must be some in every congregation that would say, oh dear, we have another sermon on baptism. Well, you have. I don't preach often enough, but I'm compelled, I'm in love, with the doctrine. I'm in love with those that are hesitant. What doth hinder you? What? If the Lord has graciously called you effectually by his grace, oh, but I'm so tried. Well, that's the lot. That's the cost of looking to the cross and owning the cross and the Saviour upon it. And now in his resurrection, but that is the cost. That is Satan's work to distress those whom the Lord brings into gospel liberty, shows them the pardon of their sins, gives them a hope in eternal life. That is the lot. Now, recently, my wife and I have been talking over some of these cases. A fellow minister told me of a young man in his congregation. I knew him, still know him. He said, oh, how I would love to worship the Lord around the table. How I would love to worship with the people of God. He never did. And now, a nervous sort of man, he feels he must be baptized. But he said, I've got no testimony. I can't speak to anyone about it. There's a dilemma. What hinders him? And at the last ordinance I took, I said to a dear sister in middle age, I said, I'm so thankful to see you around the table. Oh, she said, I should have done it years ago. I had the tokens of his love. I should have done it years ago, and every time it's preached, I feel guilty. But I'm so happy, freed from that guilt now, to meet around the Lord's table, baptized in his name. And there are many who feel they haven't a testimony, they're shy, ashamed of Jesus. Not really, they say, but they are in effect dishonouring the Lord who called them to be disciples. In my own case, young man before I was married, several were baptized under the ministry, and I felt an exercise. It wasn't just a desire, it was an exercise from the Lord. I must follow my Lord. I must, because I loved him, because he first loved me and saved me and was saving me by his grace and power. Well, I came and I was baptized, and I was thankful to be baptized, but oh, the trial afterwards. I wondered what came upon me, the devil's temptation. Look at your thoughts, look at your lust, look at your life. You ought to be ashamed to make such a profession. But I'm not. I was blessed as a young man with the pardon of my sins. I'm still being blessed, and I'm over 80. And like some of you, many of you have been kept by the power of God through many years of faith, keeping his commandments and walking in his ways. You've sung of them this morning. You've sung for that open heart, for that desire to be led into the ways of God. What does hinder? Satan will hinder. What hinder the work of Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, went to Calvary in a finished work. It's not finished. Finished our redemption. The ransom's paid, the price is paid, the church is accepted in the precious righteousness of Christ, but his work continues. The acts of the apostles are the acts of the apostles' work in Jesus' name, calling men to be disciples, to follow their Lord, to suffer if need be. I say, what doth hinder you to be baptized? Well, I want to look at the eunuch. He was obviously an important man, a noble man. To be a eunuch would be to sacrifice that part of his life to the service of the queen, or as men do in other ways. But he was on returning from worship. He had some form of religion, probably very satisfied with his religion. But he'd got a tract or a copy of Isaiah's prophecy. He was reading it. He was so interested. The work of the Spirit was exercising his heart toward it. Do you know that exercise? It's not just few thoughts, is it? It's an exercise from the Lord, to the Lord, to his commandment. Well, he was reading it, and the Spirit sent Philip to him. Understandest what thou readest? How can I, except some man guide me? He invited Philip up, and the place where he was reading. And what is the beauty of this passage? He preached unto him Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And I look on you and I think, you have had Jesus preached to you every time you come into this chapel, in some part of his suffering, work, righteousness and glory. You have had Jesus Christ preached unto you. But what is the response? What is the response? Think back. And as I'm preaching this morning, I'm conscious that I'm preaching truth and the experience of the truth. The truth is paramount, but the experience of the truth is vital. Experience of the deep things of God. Look back, you believers who have been baptized. You say, I'm ashamed of my profession since. Oh, how far short I've come of the glory of God. How many falls and slips I've made. But the Lord has restored me. He's restored my soul. He's kept me from falling, from reprobation. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm ashamed of me. Go back in your experience. And what can we find better than this experience of the Philip? He said, is the prophet speaking of himself or of some other man? And Philip preached unto him the other man. He preached unto him Jesus. What was he reading? That Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter. A lamb to the slaughter. The Lamb of God that John spoke of. When John said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord. He came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ is at hand. And how many came to be baptized in Jordan by John? And let me remind you that we read in the scriptures of how many Jesus baptized. The disciples, the Pharisees came when they heard, and that was the means why the Lord moved away. When he'd heard that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. So our Lord and Master baptized more disciples than John. And what was the teaching of our Lord in life? Why he must needs be baptized of John in Jordan to fulfill all righteousness. And so he was. And when Jesus speaks of being baptized, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. A baptism of fire under the judgments of God upon his bearing our sins. It wasn't a baptism of water because he'd been baptized in water. It was a baptism under the judgment of God for our sins that we might be set free. But that is another sermon. But Jesus spoke of baptism and of believers being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And yet in Jesus' teaching, at the end of the Gospels, we read this, go ye into all the world, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Believers, rejoice in this truth. We as Baptists are Trinitarians. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And here Jesus is revealing that you who are baptized in this pool, think of what the minister said when you were baptized. Upon your repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. That's what a minister would pronounce. But Jesus pronounced it. Jesus commanded it. Go and teach and baptize in the name. Think of it, believer. Oh, I was but a poor young man. I felt my sins. I felt the plague of my own heart. I felt God had been merciful, but I was so poor, and how to walk in the way of righteousness with all the lusts and mind and heart, I didn't know. Except I loved the Lord that had forgiven me. But you and I are to be baptized in the name of the Father. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, I had such a sense of the holiness of God as I came up this morning. I found myself singing that hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. There is none beside thee. Though the eye of sinful man thy glory cannot see, only thou art holy, merciful and mighty. What a God. We're baptized in the name of the Father. To do his will, be submissive to his will, to walk in his way. I'm not setting a hard path, am I? Oh, the ways of the Lord are pleasantness. The ways of the Lord are peace. They're blessed ways to walk in. The world may hate you. The world may despise you. At times we've known it. But the Lord is our peace. He's our comfort. He's our friend. He will never forsake us nor leave us. We are baptized in the name of the Son of God eternally. And we are baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit that God sent in Jesus' name, that the gospel might be preached to you and me, that his people might be called to believe as this unit did. We're baptized in the name. We don't realize it at the time. We do need to ponder it. That was the names we were baptized in of the Trinity. Does Satan tempt you about the Trinity? tell him, for Jesus' sake, to leave you alone. You believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Look at the eunuch's testimony. What doth hinder me? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. What would you say if that was the test this morning? Do you believe with all your heart? Oh, my poor heart, you say. Oh, I would. But my poor heart. But I do believe. I do believe. And when Jesus was preached to that eunuch, the lamb that was meek, the lamb that was offered up, he would have preached to him how he was born, how he came to a sacred manhood, how in that manhood he lived a righteous life, how he taught truth, how he showed the way of salvation, how he reproved sinners, hypocrites. And the testimony of the eunuch was, think of it. Think of this testimony. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He'd got another religion without Christ. The woman at the well had. But the eunuch was returning, exercised in Isaiah's prophecy as to who this man was. And his testimony was not very large, it was so profound. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you need any more? I don't often speak from Ruth, but I love the book of Ruth. Think of her testimony. Is it yours? Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Oh, if that were the testimony in the churches before you as a people, you'd accept it, wouldn't you? You'd accept a Ruth-like character, wouldn't you? And you would accept the character of the eunuch. If they are your testimonies, what does hinder you? What does hinder you? Oh, but unwillingness. I've not yet been humbled in myself. I'm too old. I can't make the sacrifice. What would my family say? What would the Queen of Candace say? What would my wife or husband say? What would my work people say? What would they say? I can't. Are these hindrances? I tell you what would remove the hindrance. Let the love of Christ shine in your hearts. The love of God fill your heart. Humble it. Make you willing according to that promise of old. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And we are made willing. Do you want to be made willing? Oh, I'm too old. We had a dear friend at Crowborough who looked for baptism for his salvation. And when we tried to convince him, the Lord showed him that that wasn't the passport to heaven. Baptism was to put on Christ in a profession of faith. And he said, Mr. Dowles, all I needed to do was look to Jesus. Mr. Dowles said, I've been telling you that for a long time. All you need to do is look to Jesus. Well, he came before the church, and we noticed his face shone like an angel. It shone. And afterwards he said, The Lord bless me there. He was 84 and he was baptized. He came to the three services in the day. His brother said, "You are not going to be baptized. You're not going to go to the evening service. You'll get a cold. You're not." There were so many hindrances. He said, "I am. I am." All hindrances were taken away because the Lord visited his soul. Well, come back to the account. The chariot goes on and they commune in this blessed gospel of Isaiah. Philip is preaching of this man that went to Calvary and was baptized with fire, that suffered for our sakes because he loved us. The manifestation of the love of God which was in Christ Jesus, whereby he so loved the world to send his only begotten Son. And the chariot rolls on. And in the desert, where would you find water deep enough to baptize? Well, there were places. And he said, "See, here is water. Here is water. What doth hinder me?" And there is water, my friends, and what doth hinder you? When he came up out of the water, joy. Philip was taken away. The preacher was taken away. He would see him no more. He was alone. But he was alone with his Lord that he'd honoured. And he found a joy in his heart, a sacred joy. I felt it was the best water I'd ever been in. Perhaps a natural feeling, but I was at ease in my conscience, at peace with God and man. My friends, think of what we've been led to this morning. I had no intention of speaking from baptism. I'd been speaking of this man as a hiding place, a refuge from the storm, shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I had no thought of speaking in this way this morning. You're upon my heart. What doth hinder you? Well, I'm going to leave it. There's sufficient for us to think about, but think of the truth of what I've spoken. And think of the experienced believer of what you've had. When you've tasted that the Lord was gracious, when he heard your cry, he knew your desires and your longings, he knew what tempted you, he knew how you were enabled to tell everything to him. A sweet fellowship of sorrow and sadness and desire, and you bring everything to Jesus and he tells you his love. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners. He saved them at Calvary. He saved them by his precious blood. He saves them now by his grace. Oh, says one, it's too late. Ah, my friends, when the old men used to preach, they used to preach that you can come to Jesus. You can come now. You can come this very minute. They didn't preach as though you got the power to come. They preached as though they were under the influence of the Holy Spirit to come. And many did come. They came to Jesus. And they were baptized. Why? Because those preachers preached the wrath to come. To flee from the wrath to come. They preached to sinners that they were sinners and that soon it would be too late with sinners. Too late to seek the Lord. While you live, it's never too late. Never too late. And why did God invite sinners to come to him? How everyone that thirsted. Why? Why did he seek you to buy bread and wine without money and without price? Why? because he knows the wrath to come. The wrath of a holy God that must issue in wrath. He knows that you need to be delivered from. Oh, my friends, what hinders you to come to Jesus Christ? What hinders you to be baptized? The Lord bless his word and the Lord bless you. Amen.